and being in relationship with one another, though one God, three persons, one God. And he wants for us as his creation, for those who know him, to have the same kind of deep communication with him. And so he gives us this gift of prayer. God wants for us to communicate with him, to be able to talk with him, not just kind of know that he's there, but to truly talk with him and communicate with him in a deep way so that we can get to know him more, so that we can understand his love, his amazing love for us. And the way that we are able to pray, that we don't have to go to another person, but we can ourselves pray to God, is because of what he did for us. By his grace, he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you and me, for our sins that disconnected us from God the Father. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, when he bled and suffered for us, when he took on our sin upon his own shoulders, he opened a way, reconnected us with God the Father. And for those of us who are believers of Jesus Christ, we now have access to God of the world, to the Creator God. We can talk with him when we're feeling down, when we're feeling sad, when we're feeling excited, when we're happy. Whatever we're going through, we can communicate now with God because of what Christ has done for us. And so God himself reconnects us to him. And so now as believers, I believe that we must pray. We must pray. And so why must we pray? That's what we're going to talk about today. Why must we pray? And we're going to look at this passage in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7. We'll go through verse 11. This is what it says. This is the word of God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for your love for us. Even while we were sinners, you had compassion on us. You did not condemn us or destroy us, but instead you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. He was, in a real way, destroyed by our sin for our sake, so that we would not have to experience separation and eternal disconnection from you, God. But we can have connection with you. Thank you that even as I pray to you right now, that you are a God who hears me, who hears our thoughts and our prayers. I pray that you would speak powerfully through your word today. Every person here, may their hearts be filled with your truth, and may they be moved by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to be a church that prays together, that prays for one another, loves one another in that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So for those of you who don't know, I actually grew up in a pastor's family. So my father was also a pastor. I remember when I was growing up, prayer was something that they taught to us from the very beginning. You know, if we started to eat our food, you know, they'd always ask, you know, did you pray? In Korean, it's like, 기도했어, right? Did you pray? And so, okay, and then you have to pray, and then you can eat. Before we went to sleep, My older brother and I, when we lived in a small apartment in Chicago, we actually shared a bed. It was a small two-bedroom apartment. And so we'd always kind of get ready to go to sleep, but we always knew we'd have to wait for our dad to come in and pray with us or pray for us. And so we'd just wait around, and then he would come, and we would take turns each night praying. And we'd say, you know, we kind of say the same thing every time, and we prayed in Korean at a time, but I'll pray in the English. I would say, "Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for keeping us safe. I pray for Appa. I pray for Amma. I pray for my brother," right? And so basically, you know, kind of simple prayers we were taught. Before you sleep, before you eat, when you wake up, before you go to school, "Hey, did you pray for the day?" Right? And so this idea of prayer was very important. I knew it was important. But I'm going to be honest with you, for a very long time, that's all prayer really meant to me. It was just kind of a scheduled thing. Oh, okay, I got to do it before lunch. Oh, okay, I got to do it before dinner. I got to do it before I sleep. It's almost like it was just another, I don't know, like a part of my schedule. Oh, I need to brush my teeth. Oh, I need to eat lunch, right? It just seemed like another thing that I kind of had to do. I knew it was good for me. But as I grew older and as I matured in my faith, what I came to realize is even as I prayed as a child, the amazing reality that God, who created the whole world, he was actually hearing me. He actually cared about the things that I prayed for. He actually wanted me to pray more. You see, he doesn't want prayer to just be another good thing that you do. He wants you to pray so that you can understand more of who he is. He doesn't want you to just pray because you want something. "Dear God, please give me this new toy." He wants you to pray so that you know when you say, "My Heavenly Father," you understand his love for you. You understand his care for you. You see, prayer is a gift from God that he gives to us because when we communicate with him, when we go to him with a humble heart, we don't just get what we want, we get what we need. And what we need, what every single one of us needs, is more of him. What every single one of us needs, more than anything else in this world that we could ever receive, is more of God. Amen? And so today we're going to talk about this loving Father in heaven who gives us this gift of prayer through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're going to answer this question, why must we as believers pray? So why must we pray? Talk about three things together today. If you have your bulletins, it's in there as well. And if you want to take notes, you can go ahead and do that. First thing is this, why must we pray? God invites us to pray. God invites us. Secondly, God answers us. He answers our prayers. He answers us. And thirdly, why must we pray? Because God redeemed us. God redeemed us. So let's go ahead and start with that first point of why we must pray. It is because God invites us. Now, a lot of times when we think about God, we kind of think of him as a far away God. And even when we pray, sometimes we think, "Oh, you know, I've tried everything else, so maybe this is my last chance. So, God, I'm coming to you now because I've tried everything else and I'm going to give you a shot. How about it, God? Can you help me out?" And we kind of have this attitude of just kind of thinking he's distant. He kind of just watches us from afar, and then we go to him when we need. But actually, if we see these verses in this passage, we actually see that he invites us to come to him at all times. Look, he says, "Ask." He says, "Seek." He says, "Knock." You see, he's saying, "Do these things." He's saying, "I'm inviting you to come to me with whatever problems or whatever you may be going through, whatever requests or hopes or worries or fears or anxieties. I want you to come to me because I am willing to listen." So he invites us. So we're going to take a look at these three things that he invites us to do. And he says to ask, seek, and knock. Now, asking, sometimes that's kind of a tough thing to do. You know, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes it's kind of I don't really want to ask anyone anything. Because when we ask someone something, it's almost like saying, there's something that I don't know. When we ask someone something, it's like saying, there's something that I cannot do by myself. And a lot of times, we as people can be very prideful. We say, hey, I want to be someone that doesn't have to ask anyone anything. I got it all figured out. I just work hard, I study hard, I do all the things right, and I'll be okay. Sometimes we want to be like that. We want to be able to provide everything for ourselves, but God knows us, and he says, no, 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 no. You need me. And so come and ask of me. Ask. And so what does it mean to ask? It means to humble yourself. It means to say, I know that I am not in control of my own life. I know that there are things that I cannot manipulate and make to happen exactly the way I want to. I know that my life may not go exactly the way that I have planned. I want to humble myself, God, and ask you. I want to ask you. And, you know, I kind of started thinking about that. And, you know, have you ever been in a class where there's one guy who kind of did know everything about the class? Somehow, some way, and maybe you were that person, right? There's a lot of smart people, you know, smart-looking people here. But in class, there's someone who kind of knew everything. And so there's, you know, other people in the class, when they need help, they're like, oh, I can ask him. And there'll be two different kinds of people. Sometimes the one who knows everything is actually very mean. When people come and ask him questions, oh, get out of here, man. I don't want to help you. They don't want people to ask them questions. They just want to do well on their class. They don't want to help anyone else out. They just want to do for themselves. And it's sad, right? If someone knows a lot and is able to help others, then, you know, it's like, oh, why won't you help me? But now God, he knows everything. But he doesn't say, stop bothering me. He doesn't say, stop asking me. He doesn't say, stop coming to me with all these questions. He says, ask. He says, ask. He's inviting us. You see that? When we humble ourselves to see that we need God, we learn how to truly ask of him. And God doesn't turn us away. He doesn't say, I don't have time for these stupid questions. He doesn't say that. He says, ask, ask. And so let us go to God in that way. Second thing is to seek. What does it mean to seek? It means that there's something that you're looking for. And when we seek of God in prayer, it means that we're seeking to do what he wants for us to do. Sometimes we think that prayer means I'm seeking something for myself. And so I go to God and I'm seeking, you know, this outcome or this money or this house or this boyfriend or this girlfriend or this grade or this promotion or this job or this career. And the list goes on and on. And so we go to God sometimes in prayer, a lot of times in prayer, just seeking things for ourselves. But what God invites us to do when we seek and we shall find is if we are ever seeking the truth of God, if we're seeking God himself, wanting to know more of him as we go to him in prayer, then surely you will find what you are seeking. Because God does not hold himself back from his people. He wants you to know more of him. He wants you to experience his peace and his grace every time, in every way. Last thing, right? Asking, seeking, and knocking. What does it mean to knock? You know, it's kind of like if someone's behind a door and you really want to talk to them, then you're going to knock, but you're not going to stop. If they say, go away, you say, oh, okay. But if you really want to talk with them, you're going to keep knocking. Come on, I want to talk to you. Knock, knock, knock. It's like, oh, I'm busy. No, 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 I want to talk to you. Knock, knock, knock. And you keep on going to the Lord, and you keep on knocking. There's this idea of knocking that it means it's persistent. You continue to go to God. But we don't have to worry that God will keep the door closed. He opened the door for good when Jesus Christ died on the cross. It says the veil was torn. We became reconnected with God, and now we can go to God with confidence when we knock, that he will answer. Amen? And so we must learn to have this kind of understanding of God. He invites us to pray. He invites us to pray. Second thing is this. God answers us. God answers us. He answers our prayers. Now, when I say God answers our prayers, maybe some of you are already thinking, okay, Pastor Josh, I know you say that God answers prayers, but I've been praying for this thing for many, many years, and I still have not received it. But God answering our prayers does not mean that everything you pray for, you get. Guess what? Sometimes God answers no. We go to God thinking God answering prayers means I get what I want. I get what I want. So, oh, God is answering prayers. But the reality is that God does always answer our prayers, but his answer is not always the one that we would be hoping for. His answer is not always the one that we want. But I promise you, his answer is always the one that we need. His answer is always the best for us. Whether we understand that at the moment or not, what happens in our lives, the way that he answers our prayers, is exactly what we need so that we can learn more about who he is, so that we can learn to trust in him more. Even if you get the opposite of what you're asking for, God is giving you what you need, and we need to love him and trust him as our Father in heaven. So God always answers us. And I want to just say there's three ways that God answers us. The first, this is the one that we are hopeful for always, is that he answers yes. So yes, he has the power. He's the creator of the world. He has the power to give you anything you ask for. And so yes, there are times when you pray for something and he gives it. And so you say, thank you, God, for answering my prayer. But God, as I mentioned before, can also answer no. Okay, everyone heard that, right? God's answer to you can be no. Sometimes we go to God thinking we have some kind of entitlement that the answer should always be yes. And we'll make all kinds of reasons. We'll say, well, this is a good thing that I'm asking for, God, so how can you not give me this good thing? God, I'm praying for this sick person to heal and get better. How come they're not being healed? This is a great thing that I'm asking for. But maybe sometimes it's smaller things. God, I asked for an A on this exam. I didn't study at all, but I asked for an A. Where's my A? And God says, no. You know, I've actually heard some of my friends, actually, they pray for a higher grade, and somehow, by God's grace, even those small prayers are answered with a yes. But I'm telling you, more often than not, in those kind of things, the answer may be no. But whatever it is, whether it's a good thing, a selfish thing, maybe even a wrong thing that you pray for, oh, Lord, I pray that you strike him down, the answer can be no. Because God is the one who's in control. When you humble yourself before God, you're saying, God, no matter what your answer is, I'm going to trust that you love me. I'm going to trust that you're giving me what I need. I'm going to trust that what happens, the answer you give, is the best for me in my life. There's a third thing that I want to talk about as well. Sometimes the answer is yes, but not yet. Okay? Sometimes the answer that God gives to us is yes, but not yet. But for those of us who are waiting, we don't like to wait, do we? People don't like to wait. Who here has been to an amusement park before? Many of us have been to an amusement park. Who likes to wait in line to finally get to the ride? Not me. And now you can even buy those passes where you pay extra money so you can cut people in line and go to the front of the line so you can get on the ride faster. Sometimes we think like that with God. Because when he says yes, but not yet, we might think it's a no. Sometimes when God answers yes, but not yet, we think he's saying, nope, it's not going to happen. But I promise you, whatever the answer is, again, that God has the best in store for you. And so don't stop praying. Oh, he answered, no, I'm not going to pray anymore. No, you keep on asking. You keep on seeking. You keep on knocking. But not just because you want something to happen in your life, but because you trust God and you know that he is the one that made it possible for you to pray in the first place. You see, God answers us. He always does. And the answer is always the best for us, whether we feel like that, whether we understand it or not. And so we need to learn to trust in God as his children. Continue to seek him. Maybe there's some of you here, and you've been praying a long time, and you feel like you're wasting your time because you don't see changes. Maybe it's your children who don't know the Lord. Maybe you hope that they'll be here right now in this sanctuary with you. But they're not here. They're not at a church anywhere. They're busy living life and being successful in the world, or maybe doing other things. And you just, Lord, I pray every day that my son would become a believer. I pray every day that my daughter would know Christ. I pray every day for my in-laws, for my family, and there's still people who don't know you, God. Don't be discouraged. Trust God that he loves you and knows you. Keep on praying. The answer may be yes, but not yet. But whatever the answer is, go to God. Trust in him. Amen? Be encouraged. Don't stop in prayer. God invites us, and he answers us. This last point of God redeeming us is very important. God redeemed us. And it's what I mentioned before. The ability to pray to our God, the way that we can be connected with him, it's only made possible through his son, Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us and taking our sins away and making us right before God is the only way that we can have this connection, this deep connection in prayer with him. And it's because when he redeems us, he saves us out of sin. In a real way, he purchases us out of death through his own blood being poured out for us. And so he redeems us and we become children of God. So it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how young you are, if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, he sees you as his child. And that changes everything about our relationship with him. You know, when my son, he can't quite talk yet, but he knows different words, my son Caleb, he's almost 2 years old. If he needs something or wants something, he'll say, Appa, Appa, and he'll come to me, and he'll maybe point at something. Nowadays, he really likes to look at cars outside the window, okay? So he'll be like, car, car. And I'll be like, oh, okay, Caleb, do you want to go see cars? And he goes, right? And then I take him by the window, and we open the window shades up, and he just looks outside, and he's like, I'm like, yeah, that car is black. And, you know, I talk with him, and I spend time with him. You see, when you have a father who loves their child, the father should make time to spend with the child, to interact together, so that the child knows that he's loved, but also that he can come to the father with anything that he might want. And you see, when God redeemed us through his son, Jesus Christ, he gave us that kind of relationship. But God is better than me. He's better than any of the fathers, even the best of fathers that may be here. Because he's a father that doesn't have sin. And he's a father who loves us unconditionally in a way that no human being could really understand, at least on this side of eternity, at least before we meet Jesus face to face and we're in heaven together, there's no other kind of love like the love of our Heavenly Father for his children. And so when we pray, he invites us and he answers us, but he does so as our Father who loves us. And this is why he says in verse 11, he says, that if you who are evil, it kind of seems very, very strong language, but he says, if you who are evil with people with sin can do good for your kids, how much more will God the Heavenly Father do for you? You see that? He's saying, I'm your Father in heaven. I want the best for you. Trust me. Believe me. I gave the blood of my own son, Jesus, so that you could become my children. Come, spend time with me in prayer. He redeemed us. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, in Mark 10, 45, it's continuing to let us know that God's whole purpose of sending Jesus was to redeem us so that we could live our lives as his children, so that we can spend time with him in prayer. And it's kind of interesting, right? It's kind of funny almost. And you know, there's a lot of times when I read the Bible and things are kind of, I laugh to myself a little bit, because when we see in verses 9 to 10 in this passage, we see actually that there's this question, right? If your child asks for, bread, would you give him a stone, right? Or you know, if he asks for fish, would you give him, you know, snakes? Ah, surprise. I thought about that. I said, you know, imagine, you know, Caleb, he comes to me and, you know, he wants chicken nuggets. And I give him a plate full of deadly scorpions. I mean, that would be ridiculous, right? We all laugh because who would do such a thing? And so there's this kind of picture that's created. Sometimes we think about God like that, though. We think, oh, God, you don't love me because I didn't get what I wanted. God, surely you must not care about me because you didn't answer my prayer with a yes. Oh, God, are you even with me? Look at my life. Look what's happening right now. And so we think that God, our Heavenly Father, sometimes is saying, here you go. Here's a plate of snakes. We sometimes think God is saying, well, here you go, a bowl of rocks. And we wonder, have we done something wrong? Have I not prayed hard enough? What is it? And we have to trust God who redeemed us, that he loves us, that even if you're going through hard time, hardship, even if you feel like you have a plate of snakes, God would never do that to you as his child. Even in the worst of circumstances, pray to the God who loves you and cares for you. Ask of him. Seek. Knock. Keep on going to the Lord. And I promise as you pray more, you're going to understand more of his love. You're going to learn to see how much he cares for you and how much he wants for you to know him more deeply. I'm going to close by just kind of saying again, now, what does this mean for our daily lives? What does it mean for every day? Jesus, he encourages us to pray. He gives us the promise that he always answers our prayers, whether it's a yes, no, or a yes, but not yet. He always answers our prayers. But most importantly, remember that God redeemed us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And in everything, God works for our good. In everything. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28 tells us that. That in all things, not just the good times, in all things, the highs and the lows of life, God works for the good of those who believe in him. God works for the good of those who know him and love him. And you're going to grow in that knowing. You're going to grow in that loving as you learn to pray and continue to go to God. As a church, let's become prayerful people. I challenge us, I feel like, every week. I challenge us here as a church, whether you're in the Mandarin-speaking, Cantonese-speaking, or English-speaking congregation, we're one church. I challenge us to set aside time each day. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. To me, it doesn't matter how long it is. But if that's all that you can do for now, let's set aside 5, 10 minutes to pray. To go before God, not just with all the things that we're wanting and things, but just to spend time with him. To grow to know him more deeply. Can we do that? And let's pray for our church together. Let's pray for the leaders, not only the pastors, but let's pray for those who are serving. Let's pray for those who are hurting in the church. Can we do that? I really want you to think about it, not just right now, like, oh, that would be a good thing. Oh, that sounds like a good idea, Pastor Josh. No, I want you to pray. Ask of God to give you that kind of committed heart to know God, to love Him more deeply, to receive His grace and peace, but then to pray also for one another in love. So God invites us to pray. I hope that we will take that invitation each and every day. God answers us. He answers our prayers. It may be a yes, praise God. It may be a no, praise God. It may be a yes, but not yet. Keep on praying and praise Him no matter what the answer may be. Let's learn to pray. This is why we must pray as believers. Our connection with God, growing more and more with Him each day. Let's pray together. I want to just give you a minute to pray on your own before I close us in a time of prayer. Please use just this 1 minute to go before God in prayer and ask of Him to give you a heart that understands His love for you more deeply. Pray and ask of Him to give you a passion in your heart to spend each day with Him in prayer. And maybe some of you have been praying for a long time for something. Don't lose heart, but continue to trust in the God who loves you and knows you. Can we do that? Just pray for a moment. Say, God, I want to know more of You. I want to experience this peace in my life. I want to know what it means to just know that I'm Your child, that I'm redeemed. Help me, Lord. Just pray for a minute, and then I'll close us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your grace. Help us, Lord. Help us, God. We need You. We need You, Lord. Each and every day, we need You. And so help us to take the invitation that You give to us to pray. May we grow as a church that is prayerful, that abounds in Your love because we are in connection with You. We thank You. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Josh, for the message on prayer. And in the song we are about to sing, as we approach the table of the Lord, let us sing.